Hi, welcome to the Penis Project podcast. This is the place to come to find out everything you've always wanted to know about men's health but were too embarrassed to ask. Join physiotherapist Dr. Joe Milios and sexologist nurse practitioner Melissa Hadley-Barrett as they talk to real men and the experts about men's private parts. Have a burning question you really want to know the answer to? Please subscribe to our website at thepenisproject.org and ask us.
While the greater the strength, the more time I've got for you. There's too much talking, texting, tweeting, posting. Too much noise altogether. In silence is strength and peace and space. Imagine silent forever.
The Penis Project podcast is proudly supported and sponsored by PROST, Exercise for Prostate Cancer Incorporated, a not-for-profit charity set up in 2012 by myself, Dr. Joe Milios. If you want to know any more information about PROST, including our online service now available, please just go to prost.com.au. PROST means cheers to your health, so PROST to you.
Where I want to call my home.
Welcome to the Penis Project podcast. So today we'd like to introduce you to Claire Eardley, who is the founder of the Kai Fella Foundation, which she started in honour of her son, Kai. The whole purpose of this foundation is to prevent suicide in boys and build resilience and emotional muscle in men. It comes through a school-based program. She's an amazing lady. She's also a physiotherapist and the owner of a business called Silas Physio. And today we're going to talk to her and hear her story. We hope you enjoy it. Thanks. Bye.
11 a.m., 60 seconds, kids watch on the wall. In the pub, in the tab, in the cars, we remember.
Hi, this is Dr. Joey Milios. And today we're going to be speaking with Claire Eardley. And Claire set up a foundation in honour of her son, Kai. Way back in, what year was it, Claire?
2016.
So we're going to be having a bit of a discussion today about mental health in young men across the spectrum. And Claire's got a very moving story to share with us, and we look forward to learning about Claire and her son, Kai. So, Claire, thank you so much for joining us today. And Melissa and I are just delighted to be speaking with you. So thank you for your time and your generosity. Tell us a little bit about Kai and your foundation.
Okay. So Kai was my middle boy of three. He was 20 years of age, studying physio. Probably, to all intents and purposes, had the world at his feet. Handsome, sporting, intelligent, but very troubled at the same time. So, he unfortunately took his life on the 26th of July, and in his honour, we've established the Kai Eardley Foundation, which we've just sort of had a rebranding of Kai Fella, which is teaching boys about emotional resilience and trying to break down that male stereotype and allow boys to show some emotion and give them a voice. So that's what I feel is very important for our boys.
And that's why we're here, and that's why we're doing the Penis Project podcast, because the topic of men's health across the lifespan is, we always talk about it being 30 years behind women's health. And one of the things is boys and men not really knowing where to access help or how to express their feelings sometimes. And I know one of Claire's ambitions in her foundation is to run programs through schools. And this is something that I think is so vital to start talking about these things from early on. So, Claire, can you give us a little bit more enlightenment on your aspirations there in schools?
So Kai Fella supports a workshop called Tomorrow Man, which was established in Melbourne by Tom Harkin and some of his crew over in Victoria. I saw them on a program called Man Up, probably on the ABC, and I want to say it was 3 years ago.
Maybe 2 years ago. Or longer.
More than that. So it was before we lost Kai. So I then realised after we lost Kai and we had some money that we wanted to, we'd given some money to Beyond Blue.
Yeah.
Obviously a great charity, great foundation, but we weren't really sure where the money was being spent. So in a hope to actually see the money be spent in WA and to the WA boys and youth around us, I approached Tom Harkin and said, I want to see Tomorrow Man come to WA and I want these workshops available to the boys in schools.
Tom Harkin was the...
He's the co-founder of Tomorrow Man in Victoria.
All right. So how did he respond to your call or your contact?
Look, I think when you call them on a personal level and tell them your story and tell them why that you want them to come, it just must have engaged something within him. And, yeah, he wasn't able to come, but his partner, Tom Bell, actually came over and delivered in May 2017. And so we delivered probably 15 workshops. Initially, they used to fly over and just come for a week and deliver into schools as many as they could, and then they'd fly back to Victoria. Feels super, super honoured to be able to support Tomorrow Man for all those people that haven't actually had the opportunity to see the workshops there. Brilliant.
Do you want to ask anything?
Yeah. So since you've been doing that in 2017, have you got more programs going on in the schools now?
So we've probably, just this year, I think Tomorrow Man nationally has delivered over all of Australia 650 workshops and reached probably 20,000 boys.
Wow.
Within WA, I think we're probably up to about 200 workshops in WA, and that's obviously only been, that's just this year in the last 6 months just because of COVID. And they've been really inventive and gone to Zoom workshops and all that sort of stuff, but we've sort of been lucky enough in WA to still be able to get into schools, and we've got a facilitator now that actually lives in WA.
Okay, so someone's done the training from over there and they live here and provide the course. And if you were a school teacher and you wanted to access, how would they access your courses?
So there's two ways. They can just use either, if they look at on the Kai Fella website, they'll get access to my email and I can put them through to the Tomorrow Man team. I guess that's kind of been a little bit difficult. We've had lots of funds raised and people go, I want this to go to my son's school. And I think that's where it's a very fine line between what is sponsorship and what is actually a donation. So you just have to trust that your money is going to reach WA boys and it will go to the boys that need it. It may not go to your nephew or your grandson or exactly the school that you want, but we will do our best to get into that school. And there are some roadblocks. There are some schools that are not interested in having a new style or a new approach and are happy with the way that they're dealing with, in their own words, their mental health stuff. So we can't get into every school, but that is our goal.
So back to your story and what drove you to do this, how old was Kai when you discovered that he had these issues?
Kai was a spirited young man. He had an invitation to change schools at 14, so the typical year 9, difficult year for boys, full of testosterone and pushing life's boundaries. So he probably experienced his first bout of anxiety in year 9 when he changed schools. So he went from CBC to Aquinas and finished his schooling at Aquinas. And I don't think he ever really... he wasn't really sure where he fit. He didn't know whether he was a CBC boy or an Aquinian.
Oh, really? What was the change of the schools all about? Was it a scholarship thing? Or?
No, it was... he was deemed to be, part of the naughty crew.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he's kind of asked to move on.
Asked to move on. So invitation to change schools, which at the time broke my heart. But, there's not a lot you can do when you libel the deputy headmaster and he tells you he doesn't want your child in his school. So he was invited to move on.
Invited to move on. I like that phrase, but I've actually not come across it. Sounds very English, but no.
It's actually quite common. You don't want it to be offered to your child.
No, okay.
You want them to try and fulfil their schooling.
Yep.
And I have to say, sadly, for those 5 boys that were part of Kai's cohort that were all invited to move on, it didn't do any of them any favours. I actually think that the pastoral care and the support needs to start, and that's why our programmes do start in year 9 and year 10.
Great.
Because that's the time when boys are experiencing a huge change and flux in testosterone and trying to work out where they fit in the world. And all of my beliefs are all really anecdotal and they're all based on my personal experience. So I can't say that I've got proof of what my beliefs are.
But you're right. I mean, the age 14 for girls and boys is super, a difficult time. Difficult. You know, it's where you're not really an adult, you're not really a kid.
Yeah.
Your hormones are running mad. Yeah. Like it is a difficult time.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the thing that I felt with Kai is we'd put a lot of services in place to try and help him, and the thing that he lacked was a voice. And the thing that Tomorrow Man are all about is giving boys a voice, and it's actually a peer-based interactive program. So a lot of some of the higher-up private boys' schools are all really keen for us to be offering education to parents and mothers and fathers. But my understanding is at 14 and 15, you don't want your mum or your dad. You actually just want your mate to understand. And so that's why, you know, I was that we were putting everything that we could in place for Kai, and we weren't the right people. So all he actually needed was a voice. And so that's what Tomorrow Man is about. Giving boys the skills and the tools just to be able to ask the question and to speak up and to say that they're not feeling too well and to show some emotion. So,
I see a lot of young boys in one of the clinics I work in, and I just think it's such a difficult thing for them to reach out and get help.
Yeah.
And often it's the mums who bring them along, and then they, you know, it's so hard. They don't know where to go.
Well, half the problem, so I believe that I raised the boys sort of the same, and to be independent, but then it kind of didn't work in Kai's favour because he would be taking himself off to the doctor to discuss the fact that he wasn't travelling so well, but then you can't really find the words to articulate it when you're 19, when you look like life should be perfect and you're actually going into the GP and saying, you know, I'm not sleeping, you know, I'm not coping, I'm having anxiety attacks. And I'm not saying that the GP wasn't, we didn't actually have a singular GP that could have said, this boy's not travelling well. So I could see it, I could see it a mile away. So then I almost, when I want to say emasculated him, I stepped in and said, look, you're coming to my GP, enough is enough. You know, the antidepressants that you're taking, it's not working. You know, they can't just be telling you to go out and do 25 minutes of exercise to try and cheer yourself up. I can see that you're in the world's biggest hole. So, yeah, you know, I went to my GP, I got the mental health plan, I got the referral to the psychiatrist. So when you think you've got all the services put in place for your child, and you actually haven't because you haven't given them the voice, which is...
Really good point. And I just think it's so difficult as well for a GP, because you really struggle. Like, I'm a nurse practitioner, but I see lots of people with depression. I get lots of referrals from Headspace.
Especially students down Freo, where you work.
Because I'm in Freo, I see lots of university students. And sometimes, to be honest, if the young man or woman comes in and their parents have private health, you go, oh, I can get you a service within a few weeks.
Yeah.
But if they don't, it's just like you want to cry yourself, because it's like you know that the services are so – the people in them are fantastic, but just trying to get access to them is just so difficult. And then I think you're right, like because they're young adults, you can't involve the parents, but you really want to, because a 19-year-old boy or girl isn't really mature enough when they're depressed to deal with it, but you legally can't involve the parents.
Yeah,
and
so
it's just such a circle of hard difficulties.
Yeah, it's a really difficult road to navigate. So I don't really know what the answer's.
The voice. You said Kai didn't really have a voice, and I'm just hearing you say that a couple of times. So wondering where and how we encourage that voice.
I think a lot of what Tomorrow Man talk about is they're not saying that boys actually don't know, they don't know how to speak, but what they're saying is that you need to foster the environment or create the environment whereby the boys feel that it's safe to speak, and that's a lot what happens within those peer-based workshops that they do. So it's actually, it exposes that when you actually do show some emotion and you do let your friends in, that they actually see that as an act of strength, not as an act of weakness. So their workshops are quite powerful, and it's really tricky for me to try and... I mean, I've sat through one, and it is, you know, it's difficult for you to know, for me to try and tell you how powerful the workshop is when you haven't experienced it.
I'm just reading this little spiel on your Kai Fella website, and I'd just like to say, for those listening, it's Kai-Fella, Fella, Suicide Prevention Foundation. So just reading just a little bit of spiel you have on here. Let's break male gender stereotypes and help them build emotional response, as in boys. And, for example, with your donation, Kai Fella can deliver engaging and immersive workshops in school settings where boys can talk about their challenges without any judgment. The workshops will provide them with strategies to build resilience with peer support.
And I think that's what we're looking for. I'd really like to just play the ad now. It's just a 30-second commercial. I think if we just get that sort of voice being heard right now, we'll just play that 30-second commercial that's on your website.
There once was a boy named Kai who struggled with his feelings inside. So he kept them locked within a box in the hope that they would hide. But the more he put inside the box, the bigger it grew and the heavier it got. As Kai's box increased in size, so did the darkness behind his eyes. There once was a boy named Kai. Kai Feller Foundation helps young men unbox their feelings, build emotional muscle and break gender stereotypes, preventing suicide. Visit kaifeller.com.au.
So breaking gender stereotypes.
Yeah. Which I think is the stereotype that, you know, boys don't cry, boys have to be tough, you know, we raise our boys. I mean, I probably did it myself, you know, if you fall over, get up, you know, don't cry, you'll be fine, rub it off, carry on with your day. And that whole stereotype of bravado and boys not showing emotion is probably the undoing of a few of the problems. So it's actually trying to rewind that stereotype and show boys that it's actually okay to have emotion and to show not necessarily a feminine side, but a side that's probably...
That it's okay to be vulnerable.
Yeah, that it's okay and to be vulnerable.
It's
and
actually...
And it's okay not to be okay.
Yeah. This is a lovely... Like, this really resonates with me as a physiotherapist too, Claire. Help them build emotional muscles. Together we can help boys build emotional muscles so they can go through their lives with resilience. Let boys cry when they need to. The foundation focuses on breaking macho gender stereotypes. So building emotional muscles is such a great use of words.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of the Tomorrow Man words, but I think the way that they're actually able to engage with the boys is that a lot of the boys are into, you know, they're wanting to look good. They understand the gym concept. They understand what happens when they train muscles.
Yeah.
They understand that if they do a workout, things are going to ache and it's going to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But if they don't, but the first time that they actually engage in their emotional muscles, it's going to give them, it's going to be strained. It's going to make their heads feel funny, because it's the first time that they've actually tried to do that. So it's by exercising what they would term is this emotional muscle that they'll actually get better at doing it.
How clever is that?
Oh, that's such a good analogy, isn't it? Can I just ask you a question that you mentioned before? You touched on about how you brought all three of your boys up the same way.
Yeah.
And this is something I've often thought about. Like, you know, there's a real kind of thing in families that, you know, if one child goes to a school, they all have to go there, or you bring one child up one way and you bring them up. And I think there's a book I love called The Love Languages, The Five Love Languages.
Five languages. Yeah, yeah.
And I always use that in relationship counselling. Yeah. But I think it also applies to our children about how different kids need different parenting. And that's so hard as a parent.
And I think, you know, hindsight's a beautiful thing. And if I'd have been given, you know, my time again, I wouldn't have sent Kai to the same school that Cam went to. So, you know, as he was an adolescent, you know, he would... My oldest boy had, you know, they were all great sportsmen. Cam was lucky enough to get an opportunity to go over east and play footy. And, you know, I didn't realise that in Kai's eyes it was all about Cam. I thought that I was I treated them all equally, but he must have just heard me talking about, well, it was his perception of that Cam, or, you know, Cam's the AFL player, you know, I'm just the middle child, I'm, you know, a poor non-achiever because I haven't made the AFL.
You can't predict that as a parent.
But he probably got that at school a bit too. You know, so, his big brother, was the legend.
So Cam was the first. Kai followed it. So Kai followed in his footsteps. But then they even did the same to Joey, who, you know, I would have said that the gene pool throws out different children. The first two resembled antelopes. Joey probably resembled more
a kangaroo.
No, a hippopotamus. He doesn't now. He went from being a, you know, prepubescent round 13-year-old to this lean, mean 21-year-old now.
Yeah, he's on the website. He doesn't look like a hippopotamus.
But they would CBC would have asked him in his year six interview, you know, can you run like your brothers? The boys were excellent runners.
Yeah.
And I just sat there looking at this deputy who'd obviously broken my heart with the fact that he'd invited Kai to leave his school.
Yeah.
And I felt like, going, does he look like he can run like his brothers, you know? And little Joey's eyes would have welled up with tears. Yeah. And he went, No, I can't run like my brothers, but I play rugby.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm good at something else, like art or something.
And then I just thought, you know, here they are. They're all getting compared, you know. Supposedly we're building our children up, to, you know, for all of them to be able to excel at their own individual levels. And, the school was just comparing all the Eardley boys, you know. And it was like, can you play footy like your brothers? Can you run like your brothers? And Kai, you know, Cam would have said it. There was an interview that happened probably 2 years ago. You know, Cam would have said about Kai, he was the smartest, he was the most handsome, and he was the naughtiest. You know? that's Cam's take on his brother, you know. So, but Kai was also so humble, so he didn't recognise his own brilliance. He didn't understand that he was like a little shining star. And that's sort of where that inner perception of self-worth probably just didn't marry up with what the external world was seeing of him. So.
But it's so important for, I think, us as a society and those school principals and people to realise that these things we say kind of just in passing actually have a real effect and that people that are from the same family are very different.
So, given my time again, I would have tried to tailor the school to the child rather than just going, you're all going to CBC because it's local and it's convenient and it's down the road and it works.
Yeah.
So, Kai had more difficulties. He had to get up earlier. He had to get his own way to school. He had to get the school bus. You know, the other boys could just walk to school. You know, it's all a little bit more trying for him.
Yeah. And so then Kai moved on to study physiotherapy. And, you know, you're a physiotherapy self. I am too.
Yeah.
Did he enjoy the physiotherapy? Did you find that that was for him or?
You know, he was the sensitive one and he would have said to me when he was growing up, you know, I'm going to be a physio mum because I'm going to help you.
Okay.
He
was looking out for you.
Yeah. Wow. He did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I half wondered whether when he went to study physio, whether he was really doing it because he wanted to or just because he thought that he needed to help me.
Yeah.
So, and he struggled, you know, he was the child that he had to know 100% of it, you know. And, like, physio throw a lot of content at you in your first year.
I was, me and physiotherapy did not gel for the first 3 years. Study. I was better talking with people, but it's a full-on course. And
so he wanted to know, And I used to say to him, you don't have to know it all, mate. You just have to know 60%, you know. You don't have to understand every last concept of everything that
I need my daughter to listen to you say that exact sentence.
Melissa's daughter's a medical student at the moment.
And she's about that same thing. So I always say, P's get degrees, but these kids don't realise that.
So he had really, really... So they were all... I don't think that it was an expectation that I put on him to exceed and perform. I think he had a very high internal level of achievement that he wanted to make and felt a very high level of internal pressure to succeed. And if he wasn't getting, you know, 80s and 90%, which is really hard when you get up to the
50s. He had very high expectations on himself by the sounds of it.
He studied his little ass off, he got a high ATAR, you know, everybody was really super surprised, the other boys, you know, I never saw them open a textbook all the way through year 12. Kai studied really hard, he wanted to do well, and he did.
He did,
But at the detriment of his own happiness, so,
Can you tell us a little bit about the logo, the skateboarding and the rainbow, because that's just so magical to me. I see rainbows everywhere since I met you.
Shortly after Kai died, which was the July, it was on the day that, it wasn't actually the day that he died, but it was the last day that we went to see him at the funeral parlour, there was just a massive double rainbow on the road as we were driving home. And then on the day of his funeral, there was just a huge rainbow over the top of my house.
Wow.
And it literally looked like... it finished into the chimney part of my house. At exactly the same time, the rainbow containers were being built and people were just noticing the rainbows that were around in the August and the rainbow containers. And then I saw a little meme on Facebook that was by an artist, which is sort of where our logo comes from, which said, when you see a rainbow on a skateboard, you know that it's going to be a pretty good day.
Wow.
And Kai was a skater, so it just seemed like a skating rainbow was the perfect logo for what we wanted. And we got permission from the artist, who's a guy over in Canada, to use the rainbow skateboard. Wow. And that's sort of where Kai Fellow was born. So.
And, you know, we went for a walk on the beach, and Claire and I met recently at a professional development day, and I said, let's go for a walk. I just want to chat to you. And, you know, we spent 2 or 3 hours walking on the beach, and you said, you know, there's rainbows everywhere. And from that day forward, there is.
Yeah.
I see rainbows. I'm walking along the street, and you see the sprinklers, and you see rainbows in the sprinklers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see, I just went to the post office shop, and literally there was a card with a rainbow on it, and it didn't have a message in it, so I could write my own, but there's rainbows everywhere.
Yeah.
Do you tell me about the rainbows you see?
Look, I'll see them, yeah. I mean, people send me pictures of wherever, whenever they see a rainbow, and it's almost, I almost feel like he, you know, Kai's almost trying to tell me something. It might be at a time when, you know, I'm struggling or, you know, not having the best day. And then all of a sudden you'll just see, you know, the whole sky light up. So on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, there was just the biggest pink sky and a huge rainbow just over the back of East Rio. And
yeah,
I guess it's just one way of thinking, you know, if you, you know, I can be the crazy lady that can believe in rainbows. You know, people can have their own beliefs, whether it's religion or otherwise. But it's nice to think that there's some external force.
Yeah, and I feel comfort from that too, that sort of thing as well. It just so happens today's the 60th anniversary of my own grandmother passing away, and, you know, I just see roses in her rose garden, and that's my comfort thing. And I just had some tough times with my own son recently, but I've been going to her garden and cutting down her roses, and like a crazy woman, I'm just giving everyone roses from my nana's garden, because going through challenging times, this because of comfort from nature as well, it's free and you can access it, and people can see it and feel it as well.
Well, I mean, we've had quite a few fundraising events, and like really uncanny strange things will happen. So it can be a beautiful sunny day, and then all of a sudden there'll be a shower and a rainbow at an event, and people go, oh my god, he's here. And I was like, yeah, he, you know.
Yeah.
I think last year it was the Duke Street or the George Street Festival. You know, it happens in December 4th.
I love that festival.
And I told the girl, look, Karen Dorr, that organised it, I was like, you know, she said, would you like a stall? And I was like, oh, I forgot to tell you, it will probably rain on that day. And it bucketed down. It was the 4th of December, and you wouldn't think that you were going to have, like, a huge storm. And then it cleared and it was fine.
It must be happening this weekend, is it?
It is, yeah. It's this weekend.
Oh, we've got to go.
Yeah.
So, another question I'd really like to ask is your son, your other two sons, like how do they feel now that it's all about Kai? Because you're organising, because this is, you know, I mean, it's fantastic. It's all about everyone's boys, but, you know, how do they feel about being involved and getting on with all of this?
So Joey was 16 when we lost Kai, and has just a really great 16-year-old. He's 21 now, but has a really great 16-year-old attitude towards his relationship with Kai. Cam, I think probably, you know, I don't want to speak on his behalf, but I think he feels more of a sense of, almost like it was his duty to look after Kai, and that he's actually almost failed in a sense as the older brother that wasn't there. And we, you know, we,
because he was doing AFL in Melbourne, was it?
He'd actually just come back. Yeah. But I think it's just, you know, the older brother and.
Yeah, they're protecting.
You know. Not why weren't we there, but, you know, the sense of responsibility or duty that maybe you have as the older sibling, and a slight, not failing. But I think, in their own private ways, I think they're still really proud of the work that we're doing. And I think they would probably like to honour Kai as much as I would, and to have his name.
Yeah, remembered.
Remembered, yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's the funny thing with Kai, because, you know, he'll be mortified to think that we've called a foundation after him. And, you know, people ask why Kai Fella. Well, that was his nickname. That's, you know, a lot of kids get their names abbreviated, but we actually lengthened his. So
Kai Fella.
Yeah. He just kind of referenced himself as Kai Fella, and that's who he was as he was growing up. So, I think I do know that both the boys are secretly very happy for all the work that we're doing, and they do come along to the events. And, you know, it's hard to talk about. It's a difficult topic. Nobody really wants to talk about suicide. But I think it's exposed a degree of strength in them that they can actually tell their mates about mental health and be that person. So I think
their own lived experience and the strength that they maybe have that they didn't even know they had, you know, to help others sometimes in, you know, quite vulnerable times as well.
Yeah.
Well, it's an amazing thing that you're doing for other people's sons, you know, because, you know, it's terrible that you have to go through such tragedy to help other people, but, you know, it does give some sort of reason, doesn't it, all those other families out there that you're potentially helping.
And I think, that, you know, I've said it a few times before, you know, it's not going to change history for me, but if it helps one family, if it helps one boy, then, you know, I'll see it that we've done a good job. You know, speaking from a physio perspective, you know, you can't count the number of boys that you do save because they're the boys that don't fall through the holes. And it's like a falls prevention program, you know. We don't count as physios the people that don't fall over. We look at balance and we look at other reactions. So we're trying to rate boys' happiness, and we just need to see more happy boys and more boys that are able to reach out, really.
So on that word happy, we had a little chat before this podcast recording, and you said you've had a wonderful man called Dan Sweet.
Oh, yes.
Happiness and sweet, those words come together. Yep. Tell us what Dan's done for your organisation.
So Dan has taken – we've been a charity in our own right just for the last 18 months, which was a difficult hoop to jump through with the ACNC and to get charitable status. We've got a board and we're official and we've got tax deductions and, you know, you get all the gift receipts when you make a donation. But I guess Dan came on as a board member in October probably of last year and has just really taken the bull by the horns to take us into our sort of – well, shot us into a corporate environment. So we're looking at getting corporate sponsorship, more exposure, growing the community word, I suppose. So, I mean, Fremantle and East Fremantle and my crew of people have been amazing in supporting me, but I can't keep keep draining that little fish pond anymore. I think I've done it. You know, I've sort of asked every person I know to buy a T-shirt or a mug or a hat.
I've done that with Prost moustaches and things like that,
So I think you've really got to accept when you've sort of, you know, drained your pond, so to speak, and that you need to look into a bigger ocean and look for more help. And that's what he's basically growing our word. And we've got, you know, a very professional marketing and advertising team to support us now. And SBS and Nova have got behind us and are donating all this time. So if anybody watches SBS and listens to Nova, look out for our little advert.
So you got a $50,000 donation was it?
A grant from both Nova and SBS for $50,000 worth of
airtime. That's not a small amount.
No,
you know.
So, like these are things that, you know, you would never have hoped for. I just, you know, it's bigger than my wildest dreams, but taking the charity to the next level will require a little bit more work on my behalf and probably to move away a little bit from the physio world that I live in. And
Well, the fact that you're having this podcast chat with us, we've actually growing our profile of,
we're getting some good numbers.
We'll say personalities as well, that P word, personalities. So I'm really just wondering, Claire, if you don't mind, sort of as we wrap up, how would you like us to help you? What can we do? What's in your dreams for your, you know, foundation?
For the foundation.
Your rainbow.
Look, I suppose, you know, half of the big thing when you're actually looking at charities and fundraising is half of it is exposure of who you are and why you're doing it. So the more people that are prepared to talk about suicide, the more people that are prepared to, you know, say, have you heard of what Kai Feller is doing?
Sure.
Or even send our, you know, direct people to our website. Obviously.
So what is your website? Tell us.
So we're simply just kaifeller.com.au.
And you can donate directly on the website? You can buy T-shirts or cups or hats.
Because I organise the merch and I'm rubbish at it. All you have to do is just contact me. My email's on the bottom if you're interested in any of the merch. We will be putting the merch back on the website. It just got a little bit overwhelming for me.
You need a merchandising officer.
I do.
Okay. Well, what do you need? You need a student or someone?
I just need to spend a little bit more time on the charity and not just try and juggle it in the background. So
we need people to help as well.
So any board person out there that is good with merchandise,
especially if they like skateboarding.
We need
and
a volunteer merch officer here.
In Fremantle.
So half of it is just getting the word out there, and then obviously the other half is raising the money to allow us to deliver the workshops. So as people know us more, the dollars will come. So, you know, sometimes you might have a fundraising event. and you may not raise the money that you thought you would, but you're basically raising the awareness or the profile of the charity, and with that raised awareness will come the dollars. They will come eventually.
Well, Melissa, I've got a question for you. You've been our IT expert in our podcast.
That is a joke. I am not an expert.
We are actually two fluffy girls who really don't know anything about IT or microphones, as you just saw before we got in here. But we really want to know what it is that makes that conversation. Like, you were happy to come and talk to us.
Yeah.
We have how many downloads now, Melissa?
I don't know. It was over 1,500 about a week and a half ago.
Yeah, so that's.
Oh no, that's subscribers. More downloaders. I don't know.
So we've started from scratch in September, Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, and then it was Movember, Awareness Month, and that's all about men's health. But, you know, we spoke to Craig Allingham last week, physiotherapist, and he said, why should we just have 1 month celebrating men and men's health? So that's why we're here, to just continue that conversation. And suicide, you know, is such a stigma. For many years, you know, they wouldn't even address, you know, these in the media. Nowadays we have Lifeline at the end of every second story, it seems. But
I mean, even if you look at how suicides are recorded, even in newspapers and on the news, they'll just say that the death was not suspicious.
Yeah.
And then they'll give you the Lifeline info at the end. And I think, you know, that stigma attached with suicide and thinking that you're actually going to get some copycatting and some increase in suicide rates dates back to something that happened in the 60s.
Yeah.
I think we've moved on a lot further than the newspaper reporting and the copycatting that maybe happened in the 60s. We've got a different social media world and a different world where news is, you know, you can Google somebody's name and find out information about them at the drop of
a
hat.
You're so right.
Thank you so much, Claire, for coming. It's just been so wonderful for you to do this, and it's such a wonderful thing for you to do for other families. And so thank you. And we will have the link to the Kai Feller website on our show notes.
Yeah.
And there will be the link to the donation on the website and on the show notes. Okay.
Thank you so much, ladies.
And next time you see a rainbow, let's think of Kai.
Yeah, that sounds great. And can we all just note that we're still giggling despite the fact we're talking about a very serious subject? Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Inside me, it's been there
all of my life. Dr. Joe here. Thanks so much for listening. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. We aim to release one podcast per fortnight, so please keep in touch so you know when new podcasts are being released. Also, be sure to check out the show notes below so that we can all keep the conversation going. Smoking bark in a cubby up a tree. Try to ignore fading of a light. We don't want to go.